NBA in the AM.
NBA in the AM is here.
Are you not entertained?
Lord Nightward, Project of Desire. To get up out the project, only thing that I desire. You know about Carolina? Gates carry the bottom with murder for hire. Stay flying, return fire. Discrepancy, your partner. I'm paralyzing the driver. In the bin, defend me, then paralyze a survivor. Hate for somebody, pray for me. Plotting on taking me. Want me?
NBA in the AM is here. Welcome to NBA in the AM. I'm your host, Marcus Frank, here with my co-host.
I'm Gavin Evans, and this is NBA in the AM on 91.5 WMFO in Medford. We've forgotten the station identifier the last few weeks, so got to make sure to get that one in there. And to start off the show today, I think we're going to talk about something that we've noticed over the past week, and we're dubbing it the NBA in the AM curse.
What does that mean, Gavin?
So, there were a few topics that we talked about last week where bad things befell the people we talked about in the week between the last show and right now. So, first off, Nico Harrison, former GM of the Dallas Mavericks, last week, we talked about whether or not he should be fired. We both thought
that's
he should.
That's what we ended the show with.
We ended the show with that.
Then,
and a matter of hours later, like 4 hours later,
I got the Shams notification that they're planning on firing him at 10.
Yep.
And I was like,
also crazy, like planning on firing him at 10. Like, just fire him now. Like, why do you have to wait to fire him? But, you know.
Then a couple days later, Brad Beal out for the season, hip injury. Season-ending surgery. Pretty devastating for me. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, Marcus had been pretty critical of Bradley Beal that episode. And
But obviously thoughts.
Yeah, obviously,
to Brad.
Yeah. Never want anyone to get
never
hurt.
Never want anyone to get hurt. Always sucks, especially this early in the season and at his age. And then finally, we were talking about Pat Bev a lot.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Pat Bev and, you know, shout out his podcast and whatever. And sometime, end of last week, over the weekend, he was arrested for felony assault on a family member in the state of Texas, I believe. It's not all the details have come out yet, you know, so, well, you know, it's too early to make any judgments. From what he said, there was, like, a situation involved, but obviously never the right thing to do, and,
yeah,
you know, we'll wait for the facts of the case to come out. Just
what he did is not good. Yeah,
what he did is
we at NBA and the AM flat out condemn that.
Yeah,
that behavior.
Assuming he is guilty, again, innocent until proven guilty. But, So those three incidents right now are the NBA and the AM curse. We just thought it was kind of funny that, you know, all three of those things happened in the week since we talked about those players or those people.
Should we talk about Shai, the Thunder, this week a lot? Who else?
Let's not talk about
maybe
Joel
a little
Embiid.
Bit on Nuggets.
No hate on the Nuggets. I'd be fine with them. With them staying. All right.
Okay. So, on the docket, I went to the Clippers-Celtics game, and last night was the Clippers-Sixers game. Mm-hmm. So
back-to-back Sunday and Monday games.
Yeah. So we Gavin and I both watched the Clippers-Sixers. I watched the Clippers-Celtics. Last week, I had a bit of a rant about the Clippers, just because season is completely disappointing. And at this point, I'm of the mentality. I was texting Gavin this last night. That, you know what, we're not going to win anything. So if we can't win anything, no one can win anything. Because guess what, the Thunder, they have our pick this year and next year and probably the year after. They will be getting the first pick this year. And the league will be in shambles, right, Gavin?
It will, and it is all the Clippers' fault. You guys are currently 12th in the West. You're 4-10. You're probably not going to get any better.
Okay, that's
Kawhi, until Kawhi, Kawhi comes back. But
no Kawhi.
That is an undetermined amount of time with
I
Kawhi.
Think
like
2 weeks, they said 2 weeks.
Yeah, but like with Kawhi, it's hard to know. And then you know, is he going to be on a minutes restriction? Is he going to come back immediately? Yeah. Like you guys, at best, maybe make the play-in if he comes back and plays well. I think.
And our starting small forward, Derek Jones.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Dirty
He got injured at the game you were at.
Yeah, I saw at the Celtics game, they were going for a loose ball. Jalen, like, grabbed his calf, and he, like, fell or something happened, and he was just screaming in agonizing pain. I thought he, like, tore his ACL, but it was a strained MCL, and he's out for, like, 6 weeks. Or he's getting reevaluated in 6 weeks, which probably is the best case scenario because the way it looked like his career was over, he was like screaming in pain. Yeah, so 60% of our opening lineup is out now. That's Bradley Beal, Derek Jones, and Kawhi, who all started on opening night. Which, you know, I think that's pretty bad, right, for any team. But in this absence, James Harden, prime James Harden is back. James Harden, he's playing back at, like, an MVP level. He dropped 37 Sunday. He had a 40-point triple-double to beat the Mavericks. Last night, he did have a bit of a stinker, though, I have to admit. He had 28 points, which is solid, but on 28% from the field, which, you know, that's not good, really, and I think without Kawhi, without Brad Beal, without Derek Jones, the Clippers can't really afford a stinker. They did lose to the Sixers, and they did lose to the Celtics also. The Clippers are 9-1 in their last 10 games. Their only win coming from the absolute, absolutely terrible Mavericks team, who is, I think, the worst offense in the league. And somehow that worst offense took us to a double OT game, which was a thriller. Gavin and I were watching, or I was watching, the second OT very anxiously. Luckily, we did win at least that game, but still doesn't look good. Just to recap the Celtics game, they came out, they and the Clippers, looking awful. It was one of those, like, 3 p.m. matinee games. The Clippers did just come in from the West Coast, so they were acclimating to the time difference. But that is no excuse. They came out super weak. They got down by 24 really early on. They would battle back. Then the Celtics would go on a 10-0 run. Peyton Pritchard was absolutely killing us. In, like, the first quarter, he was just shooting, making shot after shot, contested shot. And the Clippers were not playing well in the beginning.
Yeah, especially Peyton Pritchard James had Harden. A 30 ball on you guys, right?
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard had a 30 ball. Then, in the second half, James Harden, he turned on. He was hitting three after three after three. The Clippers brought the 24-point lead to a 10-point lead. Zubats was playing well in the second half. And then Derek Jones was already out. Ty Lue put in this rookie, his new Kobe in LA, Gavin. His name, Kobe Sanders. He had a solid game. He hit up 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. But the stats doesn't tell all. He's the 50th pick this year, and he plays with a winning mindset. I've been seeing these clips where the, like, Clippers announcers are saying he thinks he's better than everyone on the team. This guy thinks that the team is so bad, Gavin, that he has to single-handedly pick us up, which is the mentality we need. We haven't had a rookie we could play in, like, the last 3 years, which pretty bad, but to be fair, the Thunder do have all of our picks, so
every single one
of them.
It's
hard to get a rookie if you have no picks, but
Yeah, I will say, Kobe, the watching him last night against the Sixers, I mean, he was, like, really out there giving it his all. Like, maximum effort, getting rebounds, you know, playing defense. Like, he really was out there giving it his all.
So, to all of those who haven't seen the Clippers-Celtics game, I'd recommend you watch at least the fourth quarter, because that's when it got super, super exciting. The Clippers brought the lead to 5. Then, end of the game, Celtics were up by, like, 6. They fouled. Clippers ended up getting the ball down by 6. James Harden chucks up a Hail Mary 3, sinks it down. Celtics ball. They don't make a shot. Then Clippers have one chance. There's, like, 1 second left on the clock. James Harden sprints down. Shoots up another Hail Mary 3. He does miss it. But, I mean, you know, they could have lost it. There were a lot of really stupid plays against the Celtics, but I was of the mentality, like, you know, not to make excuses. Matinee game. Tired from the double OT thriller. But you would like to see them win. Then last night, the Clippers played the Celtics. Or they played the Sixers, sorry. They did lose that. It was another game where James Harden had the opportunity to take a game-winning slash tying shot. He did miss it.
He missed two, he actually. Missed, he did back miss to back two. Two. He got
but
the rebound from the first
one
and missed
it. He did get fouled on
it. They didn't call it.
Last night's game, the whole team played awful. Like, no, I don't think anyone had a good game. Besides Kobe Sanders. The Clippers started out really hot.
They did. Yeah, the Sixers were down by double digits at multiple points.
They were down by 13, in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Harden came out hot. He had, like, 17 points in the first quarter. I was texting Gavin. Harden is revenge game. Paul George was playing last night also, first game.
Yeah, Paul first George, game back.
Former Clipper.
Paul George.
Paul George, hated by the Clippers fans out there.
It's his fault you guys don't have any of your picks, because it was the trade that you sent Shea to OKC for Paul George.
That's true. He had a stinker, which, you know, I like that. I do enjoy a good hate watch on Paul George now and again.
Yeah, but he was at minutes restriction. He had 20 minutes, you know, 9-7-3. Yeah, no, he 2 of 9 from the field, 1 of 4 from the 3, but 2 blocks, you know. But I wasn't expecting much more from him coming back. Tyrese Maxey had a really good game, 39 points, 6 assists, 48 from the field, only 36 from the 3, but
he was making, like, the most insane shots.
Yeah, there was a moment in the fourth quarter where he took a shot. I believe it was for the lead. I think we were down 2.
Yeah, it was.
And he took the craziest, like,
logo
almost, yeah, like, logo 3 that, I mean, he made it, so I guess I can't hate. But, like,
no, you can hate. That's
with all due respect, he should not have shot it. And then he tried another one, like, 5 minutes later, and it was, like, a crazy air ball. So, yeah, but, like, he was making some shots that should not have gone in last night.
But he looked really, he's an incredible player. Like,
he is.
The way he can push the ball and push the pace and move with the ball, he's so fast. No one can really keep up with him if he's moving at that speed. He gets to the basket and finishes through insane contact.
Yeah.
Like, Zubats was bodying him, and he was finishing and getting the N1. And he's really an incredible talent.
Yeah. The problem was he did play 41 minutes again last night, which he's keeping up his pace as, you know, most minutes per game of any player in the league. And at some point it has to change, especially, and this kind of annoys me. This is something I've had a problem with, you know, the Sixers leadership for a little while. You have guys like Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry who are taking up 2 roster spots right now. Both of them got coaches did not plays last night. Like, coach decisions did not plays. those are two roster spots that could be used on young, healthy, upcoming players, right? Maybe a guy like Jared Butler. We traded for him from the Wizards deadline last year, I believe, maybe deadline the year before, and we let him walk this past offseason. You know, you could use one of those roster spots on a young, promising talent, and instead it's, you know, they're being taken up by Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry, who don't play. When they do play, they don't play well.
Yeah, it's bizarre that they have those guys. Eric Gordon did have a player option that he picked up, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the leadership for signing those guys in the first place when... Mm-hmm. There were definitely other minimum guys that could be much better.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Gordon is one of those guys that, like, he was, like, on those Rockets teams with James Harden and Daryl Morey, like, the 2019 Rockets teams,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And so he had this, like, relationship with Daryl Morey. And, you know, I saw an interview with Eric Gordon where he was like, yeah, I was on the couch and I wouldn't have played basketball ever again if it wasn't for Daryl Morey giving me this offer. Like, nobody else wanted me. And I'm like, maybe there might have been a reason for that.
Should
because,
have taken that one as a sign,
yeah,
probably.
Like, probably. But another one of my problems with who's getting time and who isn't is Jared McCain has been not fully healthy. That's pretty evident. But
donut from him?
In the minute, yeah. He's 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, nothing last night.
Zero shots.
Didn't take a single shot. Got 5 minutes of playing time.
5 minutes of cardio.
Yeah, he was out there doing cardio.
He wasn't playing.
And it's been consistently like this the past few games since he's been, you know, listed as available and healthy, where he'll get 5 minutes. At most, he gets 2 shots up, and he'll brick both of them, right? And my problem with Nick Nurse is that, of course, if you give him 5 minutes a game, at most he's getting 2 shots off. How is he supposed to get a rhythm going again? How is he supposed to... you know, get the feel for the game back? He hasn't played NBA basketball for significant minutes and gotten significant shots in an NBA basketball game in months at this point, nearly a year. I mean, he got hurt pretty early into the NBA season last year. It was maybe 2 months
in
at most.
He was playing
really
well,
which
sucks to see him have such a big fall off.
Well, I don't think it's a fall off as much as it's just like Nick Nurse is doing everything he can to like disadvantage him to just getting a rhythm back and getting his pace going and, you know, coming back to the level we saw him at last year. And it kind of annoys me.
Yeah, giving Justin Edwards 18 minutes and Jared only 5 and not even letting him get up a shot is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Edwards has been not good the last few... He's been all right. He's had his moments. But, like, last night, 18 minutes, 0 points... 5 rebounds and 4 assists, I'll give him. But 0 points on 6 field goals and 4 3-point attempts, and 0 of them went in. That's a, like, incredibly net negative player. Like, you're taking shots away from guys who can and do make them in, you know, VJ, Tyrese, and Quentin Grimes. And you're taking them away from a guy like Jared McCain who could use them to get back into his rhythm. It's kind of like mind-boggling why Nick Nurse plays some of the lineups he plays sometimes. Like, I've not understood it for a while. Honestly, Nick Nurse, this might be another initial contemplation, Marcus. This is something I've been thinking about, and this might be a crazy hot
take. What's
your
initial contemplation?
This might be a crazy initial contemplation, and this might be another case of, you know, spoiled Philadelphia sports fan, like, even when things are going pretty well, they demand more, right? I mean, that's true, like, especially with the Eagles. I'm personally an example of that. You know, I'm always wanting better from the team. But is it crazy for me to say I think Nick Nurse shouldn't be the coach at the end of the season?
I mean, like, no.
I think
how many seasons has he been with the team?
I want to say 3.
I think he's a good coach.
Is he a good
development coach?
I don't think he's been a good coach for the Sixers the past few years. Yeah, he signed with us June of 2023. So this is his 3rd season.
Is he like a good young guy coach?
He's a better young guy coach than Doc Rivers. Was and is horrible at that, you know.
Doc Rivers is a good, like, elevator.
Yeah, like, Doc Rivers, man, it was bad. Isaiah Joe was with the Sixers.
Really?
He was with the Sixers.
The one on
OKC right now, who's playing pretty well for OKC. Right, what's he averaging?
Yeah, Isaiah Joe is, like, a dog. He's averaging 14 points.
Yeah.
40% from three this year.
He's very good for OKC. He was good for them last year, too, on the championship-winning team. Great depth guy. Got 0 minutes from Doc Rivers a few years ago. We didn't trade him. We cut him, and he signed with OKC. And there were moments like that with Doc Rivers where you know, I was like, that's why I wanted him fired. And it's kind of similar things again with Nick Nurse right now. I'm getting, like, similar vibes where I'm like, I just don't get why we're not playing some of these guys. But then also, Nick Nurse's offensive schemes in some of these games, or especially sometimes in the big moments where it's a close game at the end of the game, kind of just feels like give the ball to Tyrese Maxey and pray he shoots a crazy shot that goes in.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like. It was a lot of... The reason you guys really came back, Clippers stopped making shots, really, in the second half. Third quarter, Clippers and the Sixers, the Clippers broadcast said this, they're the two worst third quarter teams in the league.
Yes.
And that third quarter was very hard to watch. It was very stagnant, very slow. But the Sixers are one of the best fourth quarter teams in the league. Clippers are still a pretty bad fourth quarter team, partially because of no Kawhi and James Harden doesn't really play in the fourth quarter. But you guys really came back through Tyrese Maxey just getting out of transition and shooting up insane shots.
Tyrese Hero, if it wasn't for Tyrese Hero,
Tyrese Hero Ball?
Yeah, Tyrese Maxey Hero Ball this season. We'd maybe have, like, two wins, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and, like, I remember in the first game, the Celtics-Sixers game we went to, it was the same.
Exactly. He's been stellar this season, but we have so much talent on this team, we should not be relying on these, you know, pretty fluky, you know, streaky, deep three-pointer shots or, you know, Tyrese Maxey Hero Ball to be winning games. We should be designing plays for some of our guys who can make shots and, you know, have it in them to, like, step up in the fourth quarter, and they do. But, like, we should have a coach who is designing plays for that, and right now it just feels like we don't. Like, there was a game, this was way earlier in the season. It might have been, like, week one, week two. It was, like, game four or something. Where there was a foul or a timeout or something, we get the ball. It's like 10 seconds left. We get the ball. And it was like Nick Nurse hadn't drawn a play up in the timeout. It was like Embiid had the ball at the top of the key, you know, beyond the three-point line, and he just kind of stood there, and no one, like, did anything. No one cut. No one moved. And it was like Nick Nurse just had not drawn up a play. And it consistently feels like that. And I think this team right now needs someone who's going to elevate the young talent and someone who can better utilize them. And I'm honestly not sure if Nick Nurse is that guy. Now, I don't know if there is anyone all that much better on the market right now.
Mike Malone.
Yeah.
Talk about Willie Green.
Yes. Pelicans, yeah. Should we talk about that?
Who else got fired? Last season, the Grizzlies coach, I forget his name, he got fired. Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah.
The Clippers did lose, fattening up that OKC pick, which I don't know how I feel about that. Honestly, hot take, I saw this on Twitter. I think all 28 other teams in the league should combine and donate the Clippers
two good wings. I saw this as well, yeah.
We really do need two good wings now that our two best wings are out. We are running John Collins, who I thought would be good for the Clippers, but so far he's been pretty terrible.
Sixth man of the year, you said?
Yeah, I think I assumed with James Harden's playmaking even though he wouldn't have the same, like, divine mandate to chuck up the worst shots ever, he would be able to be a good play finisher for the Clippers, but he shot, like, 37% yesterday, and he's not really good at, like, spacing either. He cuts to the basket a lot and screws up the spacing, which ends up really messing up the flow, especially when Zubat's non-threat from three, obviously. And he'll be in the paint, and he can't really get to his floater range. But, yeah, besides that, everyone else pretty much had a bad game. We spoke about this. Kobe Sanders did play well. He had 17 points last night. He started, actually, and he was guarding Tyrese Maxey for most of the game. He did a good job for the first half, but in the fourth quarter, Tyrese just went off. But that's the first time Clippers and the Sixers will be meeting this year. Hopefully next time my Clippers will be with Kawhi and will be victorious, because I cannot have Gavin holding a 2-0 record over me for the rest of the year.
We'll combine the games we play against the Knicks, too, and then...
That's true.
We'll count those. You brought up John Collins, and he was your Sixth Man of the Year pick. I want to say about my Sixth Man of the Year pick, Quentin Grimes. Everyone called me crazy for that pick. You called me crazy. My family called me crazy. He's averaging 17 points, 4 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 1 steal, on 47.5% from the field and 40% from three right now. I think that is finalists for Sixth Man of the Year numbers right there.
Yeah.
With maybe like AJ Mitchell and there's one name I'm forgetting that's also in contention. But absolutely, I think minimum top five for the award right now. In my opinion, top three. So I just want to put that out there. Everyone called me crazy for that pick. I'm not crazy. That was a good pick. His stats last night were not... I mean, they were pretty good. 19 points, 6 of 10 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. So, pretty good. But only 2 rebounds, 3 assists. 3 stocks, though. 1 steal, 2 blocks. And he was, like... This is kind of reflected in the stocks, but he was out there giving it his all on defense. He was playing very hard last night on defense.
You know who had a solid game yesterday? Andre Drummond.
Yeah, Andre Drummond.
I have a clip to play, actually.
Yeah.
Just a little clip from last night from the Clippers announcers. Sorry, technical difficulties here. What were you going to say, Gavin, before that?
I was going to say credit to Andre Drummond. He last season was not very good for us. He only played 40 games last season, you know, on 7 points, 8 rebounds. This season he's averaging 8.5 points, 10 rebounds. Rebounding is something the Sixers have struggled with a lot the past few years. And it's very nice to see someone who can go and get those boards. And he was the only center active for the team last night, I believe. Embiid and Adembono were both out. And this goes to my Nick Nurse thing a little bit. Jahni Broome, our second-round pick last year, is kind of like a power forward center hybrid type thing. And he was also a coach's decision, did not play. And, you know, that was a moment where maybe you'd like to see a guy like that get a few minutes.
This is a moment from last night.
It's from the Clippers.
This really
broadcast.
Made me feel better about the game.
Andre Drummond's hair looks like in a cartoon when they open up a box and it blows up, and it just... You agree. You're not in your
head. I didn't say I agree.
You're not. I didn't say that. Get a quick word from Kia.
So...
Crazy stress.
Is he a guy that it's time to hop on that plane?
I don't think he's at turkey
like Eric
level
Adams
yet.
To turkey.
I'm not sure he's on turkey level yet. That his hairline
mean,
was.
He's rocking like the clown hairline.
It's not great, but didn't he used to have braids? I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like if he goes back to that, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he could rock the braids.
Yeah, if he just goes back to that, but the way it was last night was not doing him many favors. You know whose hairline has been the talk of the NBA the past few weeks has been Jaylen Brown on the Celtics.
Jaylen Brown with the Jaylen Browning on other people's jerseys.
Look, man, when it happens once, it's funny. And you're like, all right, you can stop with the hair enhancements before the games. It's happened, I believe, three separate times now where his, you know, enhanced spray-on hairline has rubbed off onto other people's jerseys during the game and left, like, noticeable marks on their jerseys. Let it go, man. Like, it's...
And he had those braids last year. And yeah, that were super really, tight. I wasn't really, like, critically thinking about it, but they did look cooked.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, like, inches in between each braid.
Yeah, no, I mean, it might be turkey time for him.
It's so bad that even the Celtics announcer is roasting him. We have a clip. Can we find the clip?
Or not, yeah. I mean, to be fair to him, though, he is having he's having himself a season. I mean, he's up, he's at 27.5 points per game, up 5 from last season.
This season. Sorry. Just one second.
Oh, come on. You always want to see your star player get some easy baskets. Went flying to the basket like he'll be flying to Turkey at some point this season. Oh, come on.
Crazy strays. Yeah. Crazy to hear your announcer hitting you with the fly to Turkey sometime this season. I mean, he could afford it.
Oh, he can definitely afford it, but
what are you making, like $50 million this year?
Yeah, no, he's making quite a lot of money off the Celtics. Like,
hair installments, as the people like to call them now, or hair pieces. It's not a wig.
Oh, yeah, like hair piece. I don't know.
A good hair piece.
I mean, to be fair to him, he's having a good season. His numbers are up a little bit. That's probably a result of, you know, Jason Tatum, definitely a result of Jason Tatum being out, actually. If Jason Tatum comes back, I think his numbers are going to plummet.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah.
We've got some really interesting developments in the NBA. Do you know who's number one in the Eastern Conference, Gavin?
Is it?
It is the Detroit Pistons.
It is.
They are on a 10-game winning streak.
They beat what, the Wizards last night?
They are 12-2.
Yeah.
No, that was they're 12-2. I mean,
they are having a
season.
What's
going on in Detroit? They're having an incredible season. Really good season from Cade. 27.5, 9.9 assists, but he's shooting 28% from three. So, if he gets that 3% up, they'll be unstoppable. Duncan Robinson, they traded for him with the Heat. He's playing really well for them. 43% from 3. Isaiah Stewart, he's also having an elite season. He's become a stretch big in the league now. 11 points, 38% from 3. So, a lot of their guys are shooting well from three. That's the general trend,
I think. And they're missing guys right now. Hasn't played in the last three games. Jaden Ivey hasn't played in, like, the entire month. Asar Thompson hasn't played in, like, a month as well. They're missing guys, and people have just stepped up on this team, and they've been really, really good. And just credit where credit's due. They played the Sixers a few days ago, November 14th, and the starting lineup of that game was one of the Sixers lost the game. The fact that they lost was astounding to me. The starting lineup for the Pistons was Ron Holland II. Like, I didn't even realize pick 5 in 2024? I hadn't heard of him. Javonte Green. Paul Reed. Like, B-Bo Paul. He's Sixers legend. Love the guy. Should not be starting for any team in 2025. Duncan Robinson, who's been good. And Dennis Jenkins. So, I mean, that's, like, pretty objectively not a great starting lineup for any team in 2025.
Definitely.
Like, And then
bad.
Off the bench, you have, like, I guess Caris LeVert, Isaiah Stewart, like Chaz Lanier. I never even heard of him. Like, going against the starting lineup of Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe, Andre Drummond, Kelly Oubre Jr., and Trendon Watford. Like, you should think that's a easy game for the Sixers, right? Like,
oh no, though.
Oh no. They lose by almost 10 points, and it was never a particularly close game. Like,
I mean, Detroit, they're just a...
They're well-coached.
Team. They built the team right, yeah, most importantly, by sucking and getting good draft picks. They were getting a lot of heat a couple seasons ago. They broke the record for, like, the longest losing streak
ever. Yes, they beat out the Process Sixers. I believe they had... It was north of a 26-game losing streak, yeah. I think.
They were terrible. And after that last season, they had a breakout year. They were the sixth seed. They took the Knicks to six games in the playoffs, and they looked really good. Cade Cunningham had a breakout year. And this season, they look even better. This year, their breakout player is Jalen Duren. Jalen Duren, he's a sleeper pick for most improved player this year. He's averaging 9 more points, going from 11.8 last year to 20.3. 12 rebounds this year. A steal on 67% shooting from the field. I think he looks like one of the, like, top 5 best centers in basketball. Last night, they played the Pacers. They were without Cade Cunningham again. He had 31 points. Guess what shooting? On 92% shooting from the field.
Wow.
Though the Pacers do not have a center, as of now, a good center, that's still really incredible.
Yeah, that is for sure.
And I think it's a good story to see a team that did it the right way, that has sucked for, like, 20 years, probably. Like, well, years.
They've been sucked awful for ever years. Since, like, I mean, they won, was it 04, the Ben Wallace year? It was the last time they won a championship. Yes. And they were bad for the... They were awful for the entirety of the 2010s. Most early 2020s. I can't say much about the 2000s. I know they won in 04. But also, like, you brought up the losing streak. It was a 28-game losing streak a few years ago. Longest in history. Beat out the Process Sixers. They, like... We're not really rewarded by the lottery.
No, they got the it was, like, fourth pick.
It was like fifth pick, I think. Fifth pick.
Which, I mean, that sucks. Like, yeah. To be that bad and get the fifth pick, that's kind of demoralizing.
For sure.
It was a pretty bad draft class, to be fair.
It was. But this is actually, I think, something we saw last year and we're going to continue to see. Last year we saw, obviously, the first overall pick go to the Mavericks, second to the Spurs, third to the Sixers. I honestly don't think any of those teams belonged in the top three, like deserved to be in the top three.
No.
You saw teams like Utah, the Utah Jazz, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Washington Wizards got, not in that order, I don't exactly remember the order, picks 4, 5, and 6. Those teams absolutely deserve to be the top three. The Wizards have been, again, awful this year. The Nets probably deserve to be somewhere in there. I mean, the Nets had, like, so many first-rounders last year, and none of them have really panned out yet. But I think the way the lottery is done right now, the way it's, like, flattened odds, it's I don't really fully understand it, but...
The top five, I think, or the top three have the same chance of getting... The first pick, it used to be that...
It was purely based on, like...
Purely the top...
The numbers, yeah.
The worst team in the league would get, like, a 25% chance, which I think it's good that they changed that.
It's meant to discourage tanking, is what it is.
Tanking is pretty rampant nowadays.
Yeah. But the problem is that it's not actually benefited the bad teams.
Yeah.
Like, the teams who are bad without tanking... are ending up with with like the worst draft picks and the teams that are, you know, maybe have a bad one-off bad season, or like do tank, get good picks. I mean, last year the Sixers like kind of tanked the end of the season. They were not trying to win games at the end of the season last year. They ended up with the worst record because of it, and they end up with the third overall pick. We're gonna see a team like the Celtics this year, who is in like a mini tank this year. They're gonna be really bad.
I don't think they're tank. They're not. I think more the Pacers. I'd say are that archetype, because the Celtics are 500.
I don't even know if the Pacers.
The Pacers
are
1-13.
They just suck.
Yeah,
like they're not even trying to lose. But teams like that are doing like mini tank years, due to, you know, injuries to stars and whatnot, are gonna end up rewarded. I think. I don't know.
Yeah, no, definitely though. It's kind of the nature of the sport.
Yeah.
I think it's better this way than just flat out like worst team, worst best odds. But also the year before we did see the Hawks getting the first pick, and they also had like
they were what, like 500 or
they
something.
They are bad,
yeah.
But they were a play-in team. And I think that's they should be giving these picks to the Wizards, who the Wizards, the Nets, and the Hornets, just someone help them out. Because those teams have been awful, and they don't really... It doesn't look like they found
They're going to,
until they get someone. The Hornets are just bizarre, because they have some good guys. They're just never healthy, and LaMelo just... He's not really a winning player.
He's
the opposite of a winning player.
He plays like he's still on, you know, that 2016 Chino Hills teams with his brother, like with his brothers. He just shoots shots he shouldn't be taking. He kind of like sometimes forgets he has teammates. He's not a winning basketball player, and I think the Hornets might need to move on from him at some point. He could be a candidate where maybe you trade when the value is still high-ish.
I've been seeing some LaMelo to the Clippers buzz. LaVar Ball, that is LiAngelo. I'm sorry, it's just, their names like kill me every time. LiAngelo, LaMelo, and Lonzo's dad. Clearly some inspiration in his name. He wants all of them to play in L.A. They are from L.A. I think he wanted them to play for the Lakers at first, but Lonzo was drafted to the Lakers. There was some drama. And he wants them to play for the Clippers, and you know what? I don't mind that, because we have no future hope, really, prospects, besides cap space in 26. So, hey, LaMelo to the Clippers, I'm fine with that. But aside from that, there are some teams who want to be in the tanking race now.
Yeah, so
those teams are the Mavericks, I'd say, and the Kings.
I think we should include the Utah Jazz on
and
that
the Jazz
list.
Yes, yeah. And the Jazz. Well, I guess the Jazz are the 10th seed, so
do you want to do the PSA?
But before we talk about teams that are tanking, we're going to do a quick PSA. This week's PSA is on hunger prevention. We'd do anything for the kids, whether it's finding the owner of a lost toy or picking up a dropped sippy cup. Yet 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. That's 13 million kids who aren't sure where their next meal is coming from. Help end childhood hunger and give all of our kids the meals they need to grow. Learn how at feedingamerica.org. This message is brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Thank you. So, back to teams that will blow it up. I think the Mavericks are a super compelling team, especially after firing Nico Harrison. We have seen that, in fact, defense does not win championships. Only, that's what Nico Harrison infamously said after trading Luka.
I just remembered this, by the way, about Nico getting fired. I don't know if you saw this. So the one of the owners of the Mavericks, Patrick Dumont was sitting courtside at a Mavericks game, and there was a kid in a Lakers Luka jersey sat next to him, and they were like captured on cameras talking, and so someone like reached out to the kid and interviewed him, and this was like the day Nico got fired, I think, or maybe night before, and the kid said, yeah. At the opening, the Mavericks home opener, I flipped off Patrick Dumont when I saw him because the Luka thing, and my dad made me like come and apologize. That's why I was talking to him. And then I was talking to him about the trade, and he told me that they were going to like fire Nico. And like, you know, I just thought it was kind of funny. This kid is like semi like responsible for the firing of Nico because they had like apparently a long conversation about it. And he like semi was convinced Dumont to fire Nico and was part of the reason.
I mean,
for
the
it.
Whole Nico thing, I think it's more of a mercy killing than even like an incompetence thing. I think that's definitely a significant aspect of it. Before he got fired, there were so many clips of the Mavericks fans chanting, "Fire Nico, fire Nico." I mean, he was getting death threats. They had to beef up security around him. I just think like the team and Nico both needed to mutually part ways for the fans to get over it. I mean, he was kind of a scapegoat in a way, because at the end of the day, the team and the people around him should have said something. I think when you're making a trade that foolish, like, someone's got to speak up. But, you know, it's after the fact. And now they've got a situation where they've got a roster that's kind of heading in two different directions, I think. Where on one hand, you've got players who are seeking to win a championship, those guys in AD and Kyrie, and you've got a young guy, first overall pick, generational talent in Cooper Flagg, who you want to look to develop and maybe build a young core around. So on one hand, should you keep embracing contending with this very flawed older roster, or embrace the youth and just tank? The Mavericks do not own their picks, though, next year. So you can't really do a full-out tank, but you could look to trade AD or Kyrie, you know what, basically everyone, and get back some young talent. So, Gavin, what do you think? Should the Mavericks blow it up? Should they wait for Kyrie to come back and try and contend?
Yeah. You know, honestly, it might be a little early to say they should blow it up. But if things don't drastically improve, or if they get worse, I think by the trade deadline, I think it should be a real thing of consideration for the Mavericks ownership and management team. Obviously, Kyrie isn't healthy, and they'll be better when he comes back. I mean, we've talked about this before. They've been running Cooper Flagg at point guard, which is just absolutely ludicrous. Just like mind-boggling. They've had some injury to the center position, I believe, right? Anthony Davis has been out.
He's
been out.
He's looking
like
Zion a little bit.
Like, was it? I want to say one of their other centers has been out. PJ Washington or Daniel Gafford or something has missed some time.
Yes.
So if guys can come back from injury and they can look at this team and say, I could see us contending this year, or you know, in the near future, I could see. I wouldn't blow it up. But if those guys can't come back, and or they come back and they're just not good and the team is bad, blowing it up should be a real option at the trade deadline.
I think you have to blow it up. Though the Mavericks do not own their 2027 and in 2028, OKC has the right to swap. I think the roster, it's sad to say, but it's built around a star point guard who can dime out guys really well the roster was built around Luka, with shooters in Klay Thompson, Kyrie, and really good play finishers like Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, lob threats, and Derek Lively. It wasn't built around like an all-star forward and a score-first point guard, shooting guard. They need a roster overhaul in order to be a competent team.
Honestly, yeah. Their roster is not, like, cohesive. They weren't built to play together.
They're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. And in 2025, you can't contend if you have multiple guys in your starting lineup shooting 20. Yeah. But Klay Thompson is putting up tour-date numbers. Yeah. He's playing. He's averaging 9 points this season.
He's really contributing to their 3-point problems. Honestly,
33% from the field, which is atrocious,
especially for Klay Thompson. And
from the three, he's shooting 31%, which is a steep drop off from 39 last.
I mean, you sign a guy like Klay Thompson because he's a deep threat. You sign him because he shoots threes. He shoots them and makes them, I should say. And if he's shooting them and can't make them, that's, like, a real problem.
I can't help but feel bad for the guy. Because he was going to sign with either the Lakers or the Mavericks. And he chose to sign with the Mavericks with the opportunity to play alongside Luka.
Yeah.
And now he's playing alongside Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg.
Never
which
forget,
is a steep drop off from Luka.
He went 0-10 in an elimination game, though. He's...
Yeah, I mean, it might be time to retire for him, honestly. Maybe he can do, like, a 1 year in the Warriors on a minimum contract to end his career. Some nice moment, but I feel like it's after this contract, I don't know who would sign him besides the Warriors for, like, a feel-good moment. What are some teams you think would be interested in AD? Because I've seen some AD trade buzz on Twitter. There are some teams that are allegedly interested in pairing up with AD.
Yeah, I think he'd work really well on the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, alongside LeBron.
You think so? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Something about that the LeBron and AD duo just seems like it'd work pretty well to me. I don't know.
I mean, I think it would be hilarious like if the Lakers traded for them. Do you think they could? Do they have the salary?
We're not going to get into the
salary matching because that's going to give us a headache. But
I don't think it's feasible.
You know what, so Rui's making $18 million. They could include Rui. Jared Vanderbilt's making 10. Gabe Vincent, 10. I mean, they actually do have salary to match, maybe, but...
Well, LeBron's getting, like, $50 million this year, though.
Don't see the Lakers trading, or the Mavericks trading with the Lakers. I feel like...
Is that they have the number blocked? They're not going to trade with them anymore?
I saw Mark Cuban has been welcomed back to the front office, because Nico Harrison kind of pushed him out. So Mark Cuban, he seems like he's kind of a very, like, proud guy, a little bit. He thinks highly of himself. I don't think he would stoop low to trade with the team that stole their franchise player essentially away from them. But
would it be
a team I think could do really well with AD, where the age timeline fits well? I think the Golden State Warriors could be a really good team for AD.
You know what? That's not crazy to say, I think. I just wonder then, do you run him at center and Draymond at power forward then? Because his whole thing with the Lakers is he wanted to play more of a four role, not a five. But Draymond's obviously
Draymond.
You think?
If they made the trade, this is like a... Or maybe Jimmy...
To be honest, I don't think Draymond like lets himself be traded from the Warriors. Like I saw a report the other day about Draymond like vetoing a trade from the Warriors in the front office, and like it was a trade where he would have been included in it. And but I don't think Draymond. I don't know. I'm not sure he would.
I don't think they would trade Draymond. Yeah, I think the money doesn't really work. You'd have to include Jimmy or Draymond and like Kuminga, or you'd have to like depress your bench, and they're already kind of a deep, not really deep team, so I don't think that would really work.
You know who I think might work pretty well? Is it crazy to say I think the Hawks would be pretty good with him?
No, I wouldn't. That's not too crazy.
Like, run him at the good four defense. Alongside Kristaps Porzingis at the center.
Yeah,
like,
and Porzingis can space. You know.
Yeah,
that would work.
Trey could probably throw up some pretty good lobs to AD. Like,
definitely.
I think, and they have the Pelicans first rounder right now, which is going to be a very valuable pick this year. That's a situation I could see.
And they are the fourth seed right now.
Yeah,
they're doing pretty
well.
They're
9-5. You know, the third seed in the East, the Toronto Raptors. I don't think anybody expected that one.
They could also do well with AD.
Honestly, who's their center right now?
Jakob Poeltl.
Oh. Honestly, like, yeah.
And they are a little bit, like, forward heavy, but they don't really have, like, a power forward. They've
like
Brandon
Scotty's
Ingram,
a small forward.
Scotty and RJ,
three small
forwards.
Yeah.
And they've got a bunch of guys making a lot of money who shouldn't be making that money. So,
like, isn't Brandon Ingram making some like absurd amount?
BI is making $38 million, which is like solid. I think he's got good production this year.
Yeah, honestly, I see him going more to the East than I see anywhere in the West.
Yeah, I think you've got to consolidate, or you've got to send more talent to the East. That would also just be good.
Yeah.
Jakob Poeltl's making $19 million this year, so maybe you do like Jakob Poeltl and RJ, or maybe Jakob and Emmanuel Quickly.
What do you think about AD to the Heat?
I really hate that a lot, actually.
Really? I don't know if he fits their scheme very well, actually.
And also they've got Kelo Ware, who's plus younger guy center, and they've already got Bam. And Bam shooting well from three this year. I don't think you would want like two.
You don't think Bam at center and AD at power forward would be good?
I just think they already have two good bigs, and they don't need to trade more of their guards or young players. I think you assess when Tyler Hero gets back.
Well, that's true. I forgot. He's been out, like, the whole season, right?
Yeah, he hasn't played yet. Maybe, I mean, and I don't think you would trade Norman Powell for AD. I think Norman Powell is a better player right now than AD. It's nearing towards 6 o'clock. That's all the time we have for you today, folks. Thank you for listening to NBA in the AM, airing every Tuesday at 6 a.m. on WMFO Medford. 91.5. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week.
See you.